I keep saying that I want to be there in person, but it always works out that I have a number of activities going on, and it's very convenient. So I do appreciate it, but I do want to see some of you in person sometime soon. It's good to be with you this morning here at Parkcrest Chapel. May the Lord bless you, and always enjoy the thoughts surrounding the breaking of bread and the thoughts of the Lord in that. As we begin today, I want to talk a little bit about something that I think is something I've been ruminating in my heart and in my head for quite a while. And I'm actually got a PowerPoint today that I'm just going to share with you, because I'm going to share the screen. And it's, let's see, where is it? Okay. Sorry. Good. And you see that on there, I believe, right? Correct. Okay. Just, we're going to start from here. What I'd like to share with you is today is something that I've just really, really been enjoying over the last little while. And just some thoughts about lessons from Mary of Bethany. And you may in the past have heard a similar message on it, but I think it's a good reminder. We're going to begin in Luke chapter 10. And now Mary of Bethany is part of a group of siblings of the Lord, and she was a sister to Mary and a sister to Lazarus. And Lazarus, obviously, we know about him, the one who was resurrected from the dead, and we're going to actually take a look at that passage as well. But as we take a look at Mary, and we consider her today, I think to myself, what am I doing for the Lord in my life, and how am I going to Him, and in what kind of attitude, and what kind of attitude do I have? And so, Mary reminds us that there is a true heartfelt desire sometimes to be with the Lord, but it always is not the ideal situation that we go to the Lord with. It is sometimes we go to the Lord with a variety of issues in our lives. I don't know about you, but I think that all of us have gone to the Lord when we are learning, and when we are in other situations. And that's what we're going to take a look at today. And I hope that this is a blessing to you as it has been to me. Now, first of all, we're going to start out in Luke chapter 10. And Luke chapter 10, and we're just going to read the portion that is found at the end of the chapter. And it says, "Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me.' But the Lord answered her, 'Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her.'" May the Lord bless his word. Now, as we look at what is said here. We come across Mary about three times in the gospel or in the gospel record. And so between specifically the gospel of Luke and also the gospel of John, we come across her three times. And one of the things that we see in her is that as we meet her here in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 and 39, she is there listening to the Lord and sitting at his feet. That's what we see in verse 38. We see and 39, she is sitting at the Lord's feet and she's listening to his teaching. One of the things that I think that we can learn from Mary of Bethany is that she sat at his feet to learn. Listening to the Lord at his feet is an important thing. In a sense, that's what we're doing right now. We're hopefully not at the feet of me, but we're at the Lord's feet. We're at his feet learning of what he wants to say to us. I guess the question that we have to ask ourselves is, what sort of a disposition do I have with regard to learning from the Lord? We often provide, in the different places that I work with, we provide teaching opportunities or learning opportunities for many of our congregants. But what surprises me sometimes is the lack of enjoyment that they have, or sometimes it's even an indifference to the learning and the taking the time to learn at the feet of the Lord Jesus. Someone will say, oh, well, I've got to go hiking, or I've got to do this, or I've got to do that. And I think to myself, those are all fun things. They're often very legitimate things. But what do we choose? And we see here how Martha, she gets upset and she goes to the Lord. She goes, look, now Martha is the one that has invited everybody over. And it's interesting how she invites everybody over. And she would have been negligent if she had not served food. Now, what is interesting is that Mary is there at the Lord's feet. Martha is serving, and there is probably some sort of a tension between, well, not so much with Mary. She's busy concentrating on the Lord, but Martha, I'm sure she was casting those glances over at her sister and saying, come on, help me. And I think every one of us has a desire to do those things and a desire in our lives to be at the Lord's feet, but sometimes we say, well, there's so much work to do. This is not a lesson on, well, it's better to be at the Lord's feet and we neglect the work. But what we realize is that there are moments when individuals go and have to be at the Lord's feet to learn, and then there's sometimes that we have to work. And fundamentally, what we want to do is to make sure that we have a balanced life, And a balanced life means that you take the time to learn, but also there when work is to be done, you do it. So Mary had done her share of the work in the kitchen and then had gone to feed at the Lord's teaching. It doesn't say that she had not helped in any way, shape, or form. It's just she had finished of whatever she was doing, and she was there. But there's also the question, or the image, I should say, of her posture. Where's her posture? Her posture is at the feet of Jesus. What does being at the feet of someone entail? Well, if I go up and meet you, I don't shake my hand or shake your hand with my foot. That would be considered rude. In some cultures, it's very rude to even show the bottoms of your feet in any situation. But what we do is that what we give to the Lord his place as we learn at his feet spiritually. That's what we do. It really is a show of humility, a show of openness, a show of desire to learn, and that's what we see in Mary. And I want to say this, that Martha, she felt that she'd been neglected, and so she was left to work in the kitchen. Now, what we need to understand is that when we work, when we or when we worship the Lord, or when we learn from the Lord, it's very important that we understand that we don't just think that the Christian life is working for God, but it's rather being with God. And I think that that's what the Lord Jesus, or I should say, and divinely inspired, the Gospel of Luke notices this detail and says, and so the Lord says that Mary has chosen the better portion to be with me. And so I just want to encourage all of us that the work of God will always be there. There will always be work to do. At Parkrest Chapel, there's always work to do. Practical work, things with the building, things that have to be repaired, things that have to be taken care of administratively. There's always work to do. But being with the Lord is something that you and I need to practice in an intentional way. And that's what Mary did. She was intentional in her worship. Now, there's a few interesting things in here. Is that we see that also here, it's a possibility that Mary was someone who had certain interests and also displayed possibly her spiritual gifting. While Martha, what is she doing? She's working. And at that moment, she was displaying a spiritual gift in that way. But how many times do we complain when we feel like we're doing all the work and this person over there is doing nothing? How often do we complain? Well, I have to confess that I've done that many times when I've been, maybe doing some practical work and mopping, and, or this brother over here, he's just sitting around, and we become critical. Let us always be aware. Now, if there's someone that's lazy, just plain lazy, and they don't do anything, sometimes you have to kind of light the fire a little bit. And so there's moments when there might not be a moment that you're learning at the feet of the Lord Jesus and it's time to work. That's when you encourage the person to work. But when the choices are made, we need to make sure that we encourage those that desire to learn from the Lord, that truly desire that they learn. Growing up, I remember going to Bible conferences, we sometimes had to help out with cleaning up or working in the kitchen, and that was always a great time. And all those people that worked in the kitchen, you appreciated them so much because they worked hard, while others were able to go and listen to the teaching at the Bible conference. And I used to notice that and think to myself, wow, those people. Now, when you're a young person, you think, man, they got out of this boring meeting and they got to go and work, right? But the reality was that there was this balance. And I encourage us to be balanced in our desire to be with the Lord. But where was she? She was at the feet of the Lord Jesus. And so I want to encourage our hearts. I want to encourage our hearts in this area, and of learning at the feet of the Lord Jesus. Now, the next instance that we come across is found in the Gospel of John, John chapter 11. where the Lord Jesus, he has heard about the death of Lazarus. And we see in John chapter 11, and we're going to read specifically verse 32, but in John chapter 11, we see how it tells us how a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. And it was Mary who anointed the Lord with oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, he whom you love is ill. But when Jesus heard it, he said, this illness does not lead to death, for it is for the glory of God, so the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now, the disciples didn't understand because they knew that he loved Mary and Martha and Lazarus. We know that by verse 5. It says, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Kind of an odd thing to do, right? Stay there longer when really you should be making your way. How many times when we hear of someone that's passed away, especially a family member or someone that's very close to us, and it's required of us to be there, or it's prudent for us to be there, do we put it off? No, we try to find the quickest flight. We try to find the, you know, we take time off. We inform, hey, I've got to cancel everything because I have to go. Jesus stayed 2 days longer where he was. And now when Jesus goes back here, he goes, and really Bethany was not that far probably for him. The Bible says it was about a Sabbath's day journey approximately, because it was near the Mount of Olives, but we see how the Lord goes maybe 2 days later, and the disciples are saying to him, Rabbi, the Jews, verse 8, were just now seeking to stone you. Are you going there again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, does not stumble because he does not see, because he sees the light of the world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. After saying these things, he said to them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him. In other words, he gives them a precursor. He says, I'm going to do this. But what do we do? You see on the screen what the point I'm going to make here is that he goes there. He comes there and he finds that Lazarus has been in the tomb for 4 days. And so Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. And it goes on to tell us how Martha says to him, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. Now, it's interesting that Jesus says this or responds to her, because she has said, our brother would not have died if you had been here. But now he's dead and nothing can be done. And the reality is Jesus answers, just as he answers the disciples. He says, God is going to be glorified through this. There's going to be something that you see that you haven't seen before. He says to them, have faith in this. And so he says to Martha, he doesn't get after her. He doesn't say, he doesn't hurt her in her grief. What he says to her, Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. And Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. In other words, I believe that there's going to be a resurrection of the faithful on the last day. But Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. And it says, whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. These are some of the most beautiful and powerful words that the scripture speaks. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Embodied in who the Lord Jesus Christ is the fact that he is the resurrection and the life. And everyone who lives, verse 26, lives and believes in me shall never die. And then he asks her the question, do you believe this? Now, I don't know who's all there in the, excuse me, I didn't mean to point at the camera, I don't know who's all there in the audience, but do you believe this? Do you believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life? Jesus wants to save you. He wants to save your soul. He wants to be a part of your life. And he says, I can do that because I am the resurrection and the life. The context here was with regard to the life of this man, Lazarus. But Jesus, he's saying, there's so much more here. There's so much more that I want you to know about. He says, I can change and transform this whole situation. But do you believe it? Do you believe that God can change and transform your life? No, it doesn't mean it's going to make you wealthier or any other thing. What he's going to do is he can come in and forgive your sin and change you from the inside out. And we that are believers have enjoyed this. And what does she respond? She says, yes, Lord, I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. She had that clear, but she was still going to see. Now, we go on to verse 28 of Luke, of John chapter 11, and it says there that Jesus, when she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, the teacher is here and is calling for you. And when she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. Now, Jesus had not come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews were with her in the house consoling her, they saw Mary rise quickly and go out. They followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to weep there. Now, when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Now, you see what my point is now, right? You've seen it for quite a while. She took to his feet her grief. But where did she go? She went to the feet of Jesus. She went to the feet of Jesus to learn. Now she's taking her grief to the feet of Jesus. Do you and I take our anguish, our frustration, our grief, our difficult moments to the feet of the Lord Jesus? That's what Jesus desires. He didn't get after her like he didn't get after Martha. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He gave her hope. She took her feet to the feet of Jesus. But what did Jesus do? Well, verse 32, Mary came to Jesus and saw him. She fell at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. So she repeated what her sister had said. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. And Jesus wept. Jesus wept. So the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying? And in other words, there was a lot of swirling unbelief, a lot of people with doubts and fears and anguish and crying. And Jesus was moved in the moment. Yes, Lazarus was his friend, and I'm sure he wept because of that. But he also, I believe, wept because he saw what death does to people. How it they feel this sense of loss and separation and anguish and sadness to such a great extent. And it shows us the humanity of the Lord Jesus. He can identify with you. He wept. Jesus saw, and he knows when you lose a loved one, when you lose something that is precious to you. And he wept. But where did she take her grief? To his feet. Once again, that place of submission and humility. Sometimes we have a very wrong context or wrong understanding of the word submission. Submission, some people say, well, I will never submit. And we see that within the workplace, or we see that within a school situation. We even see that within families. The idea is not a dominance of the Lord Jesus. It's recognizing that he is the Son of God, that he is the one that can and really teach us. He's the one that can really soothe our grief. He is the one that can take our sad moments and he can transform them into joy. And that's exactly what he did. He transformed them into joy. We see how the Lord Jesus, she falls down at his feet, and what happens is that Jesus was deeply moved again and came to the tomb, verse 38, and he says, "Take away the stone." And what happened? The Lord Jesus resurrected Lazarus. We see how he says to Lazarus, "Come out," and Lazarus comes out. And the man who had died, verse 44 says, had come out, his hands and his feet bound with linen strips and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." This is Lazarus. He comes out and everyone else has to take the cloth off him. When Jesus rose from the dead, what happened? They came and they found the cloths neatly folded. They saw no one had to help the Lord. He was able. Now, we don't know if there was angelic beings or anything like that that assisted him in those things. We have no clue. But what we do know is that Jesus is the one who can be victorious over death. And that's what he said to his disciples way back in the beginning of John chapter 11, before they had gone there. A few days before, he says, God will be glorified. But not until there's a time of grieving. Not until there's a time of identifying with those and being able to help them through their grief. Has God helped you through a time of grief? I know there are some of you that you can truly say, "I have taken my grief to the feet of Jesus. I know what it's like to be there." And so if you are a person that you said, "No, I'm going to get through this alone," no, take your grief to the feet of Jesus. I encourage you. And you know what? We can go together to the feet of Jesus. There's many times when I have sat with people who are, a loved one has passed away. And even though they might have been elderly or sick for a long time, the grief is never less the same. And it's a wonderful thing when you as believers can sit at the feet of Jesus and just pour out your grief and say, I don't understand, or God, thank you for the life that this person lived. I know that they'll see them again. Sometimes we take our feet to the grief, to our grief to the feet of Jesus when maybe we know that someone has not trusted Christ. And that's difficult. But Jesus knows what your grief is like because he has been there when he saw how people reacted to death. It wasn't only in this occasion, there are other occasions as well, but this one is well documented. And we see how it was not only someone that he just met, but these were friends of his. He knew what that was all about. The final one that we want to look at here, though, is how we see in John chapter 12, and let's go down to John chapter 12, how Mary is once again found here. Now, this time, it's before the Passover, but they, in celebration and gratitude, want to thank the Lord Jesus for bringing back their brother who was an important piece of their family. Many times, a brother was the bread earner in the family. The way that society was very patriarchal in some ways in those days, and so they didn't have parents that could take care of them. We don't have any context on that, but what we do know is that they were joyful that their brother was alive. And we see here in verse 2, it said of John chapter 12, it says, "So they gave a dinner for him there for the Lord. Martha served." Now, we don't hear Martha complaining anymore, do we? We don't hear Martha complaining. She's not complaining anymore. She served. Lazarus was one of those reclining with him at table. In other words, that was the way they ate. And so he's eating. He's alive. And so Mary therefore took a pound of expensive ointment made from pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. And what do we see here is that she's anointed the feet of Jesus in gratitude. This is an expensive perfume worth possibly a year's wages. And we know that this was an important piece for her. Maybe she was saving it for some great occasion that she had conjured up in her mind, a marriage or something else. But this she felt was fitting, and she brings it to the feet of Jesus. What do we see? She washes his feet and anoints his feet. It says there, she gave at his feet. She gave her everything. She gave her very best to the Lord Jesus Christ. I have to ask myself, do I give the very best to Christ? Do I? Do we give our very best to him, of our time? Do we give of our first fruits, so to speak? Our finances? Do we give to him the things that he deserves, that time at his feet? Do we include him in our grief? And here, do we take our very best and do we give it to him? Once again, where is she found? At the feet of Jesus. It's interesting. Also, I might point out, and I just thought of this a little while ago here, that it's interesting how she sat at his feet, she fell at his feet, and then she poured out her worship and her gratitude at his feet. And on the three occasions, there's a fragrance. You might think, well, what do you mean a fragrance? We know at the very end there was a perfume because it tells us, wow, this perfume. But you see, as she's learning at the feet of Jesus, what's the fragrance? It's food. Martha making food. That's the fragrance that was in the house that day. What was the fragrance that she took to his feet? It was really the fragrance of death and separation. But then she comes and she worships at his feet. It's the fragrance of a sweet perfume, something that filled the house. Different fragrances, some like food that just satisfy you for until the next meal, grief, death, that really talks about how life is so fragile here on this planet. But when we give our best to the Lord, the fragrance fills the room. It's something that everyone can enjoy and appreciate. And that's what we see with the Lord Jesus Christ. We see how she gave at his feet. A wonderful lesson. And we see that Martha, she, as I mentioned before, she didn't complain this time. She probably even suggested it to her sister. Who knows? But they were part of that. I said, this is for the Lord. Let us show him our gratitude. And I just want to encourage all our hearts to be people that learn, that take our problems and our pain and our sorrow to the feet of the Lord. But also, once we see the Lord work, we learn from him. He accompanies us through these difficult times, that we always will give him our very best in response to what he does for us. May we not just take him for granted, but that we will learn and grieve and give at his feet. I just want to encourage all of our hearts. But we don't want to be like Judas Iscariot. We don't want to be like him. What does he do? He says, why was this ointment not sold for 300 denarii? Now he sounds very pious. Man, this could have been given to the poor. But the reality is that what we see in him is something totally and completely different. You know, this was something that you and I, we can appreciate. You see, the spikenard, or this nard, was very costly. It needed to be broken open. It was something that was within a vessel that needed to be broken. And you couldn't put anything back in there. It was broken completely. And it gave off a beautiful fragrance. It was completely misunderstood by Judas and others. You know, the other disciples would have said, yeah, you know, Judas is right. This could be given to the poor. Man, this is really a mistake. You know, that's how the world is represented in this story. There is a fake or a contrived logic. And I just want to encourage all of our hearts and realize that when we give to the Lord, sometimes, or when we take time to be with the Lord, it will be misunderstood. And sometimes even taking our grief will be misunderstood. And sometimes when we give of our very best, it will be misunderstood. A number of years ago, maybe I've mentioned this before, we realized that the Lord looked at this as a prized sacrifice on her part. But I remember a number of years ago, when I went out to work for the Lord, when I went out to serve him in a full-time way, a close friend said to me, "I don't understand what you're doing. You have a great job. You have a great pension. You're going to be set for life with the company that you're working for right now." Because that was important to him. He meant it well. But you see, I was young and I wanted to give my very best to the Lord. And you know what? The Lord has blessed me. Not financially. I'm not the richest guy in the world. I'm fine. But I'm not. I don't have property or anything like that. I don't even own my own house. But you know what? I have enjoyed the Lord. And I hope that it is the best that I've given to him. And I want to encourage you that let us find ourselves at his feet and do what we can for him. And enjoy his company, enjoy his presence through the good and the difficult times. Let us pray. Father in heaven, thank you for this message that we can learn from Mary of Bethany. May we always learn in a way that truly blesses our hearts. And God, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the gift of salvation. And we thank you for Mary, how she has taught us in this ancient time, and how we can learn from their attitudes how God should be glorified and appreciated. Thank you for your goodness, in Jesus' name.